Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aichi Petrochemicals Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pramod Bhandari, CFO. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Pramod Bhandari. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. On this call, we are joined by SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope that everyone was able to review our financial results and the investor presentation, which were uploaded to the stock exchange and our company website. After providing a quick overview of recent industry development and IGPL progress, we'll proceed towards the operational financial highlight. During the year, which is the six months ended September, prices of the petrochemical products were swept by the multiple factors, including the central bank policy for the tightening, weak demand in China, which led to the increased inventory across all the chemical sector companies. Due to a slight increase in the price of silicon carbide, although the demand continued to remain fragile for certain end-user markets, we are seeing a sign of demand revival, and we expect price and demand to be stabilized in the next one or two quarters. IGPL, being a market leader and one of the lowest-cost suppliers of silicon in India, our portfolio includes the maleic anhydride, benzoic acid, and DEP, which is the advanced plasticizer, which we started around one and a half years ago. The domestic demand of the PEN is expected to around 450-480 MTPA and is growing at a CAGR of around 5%-6% every year. Further, the usage of the silicon carbide has grown significantly in the last few years due to the multipurpose uses of silicon as a raw material or as an intermediate by most of the downstream chemical companies. In terms of our expansion of 53,000 tons at our existing location at Taloja, it is on track. We expect it to complete it by March. We are planning to start the trial run probably in December and January. Following the implementation of PFR, our total capacity of silicon carbide will increase to 275,000 tons. This expansion will lead to IGPL to be the next leg of the growth. We have successfully stabilized the DEP business, which is one of the key advanced plasticizers. We are also assessing a couple of more downstream derivatives, a few more plasticizer products to add to our overall product portfolio. We will announce more details whenever it is finalized and approved by the board. For the quarter ended Q2 FY24, the total income stood at around 509 crore, with a decline of around 11%. EBITDA was around 33 crore, with a margin of around 6.5%. The margin has been subdued because of the lower spread as well as the lower volume of our production due to the shutdown of PA4 for change in the catalyst for 27 days. Margin was around $80-$100 compared to an average of $150-$200 for the last couple of years. For the half year ended, the total revenue for the first half was 1,072 crore, which is a decline of around 13% on year-to-year basis. That is mainly on account of the lower volume because of the shutdown, lower margin of silicon, lower realization on the maleic anhydride, and some extra charge which has been provided during the last quarter because of shutdown, which is 6-7 crore rupees of the repair and maintenance, as well as the energy, which is required when you shut down the plant and again restart your plant. EBITDA for the first half of 2024 stood at 100 crore, with an operating margin of around 9.3%. As of September, our company is net debt-free with a strong balance sheet and cash flow. We expect cash flow to continue to remain strong for post-PFR expansion, which will further strengthen our company balance sheet. We believe we have established a solid foundation for the future by focusing on long-term expansion plan. The company foundation is robust enough to withstand any volatility despite a few quarters of sluggish demand, which we are witnessing in the last probably 3-6 months. With our increased capacity, we'll be in a good position to capitalize our upcoming opportunities, such as rising domestic demand and import substitution. We'll continue to evaluate and add new product to our product portfolio, which will facilitate our expansion into new markets and new end users. With this, I would like to conclude this presentation and open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participant present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kumar from TCS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kumar here. Thanks for the opportunity. So I've got a couple of questions. My first question is that I remember last year you had mentioned in the town call that the company would be able to generate a minimum net profit of around 50 crore per quarter. But then the company is falling way short of that for the past 1 year or maybe 3 to 4 quarters. So I just wanted to know the reason behind that and what steps the company will be taking. So that minimum target. And my second question is about the greenfield expansion project. Because in 2021, the company had announced that the project is a tune of 600 crore. So is that project still on or what's the update on that greenfield expansion project?
Let me answer your first question first. Your question is regarding the margin. The company has made around 40 to 50 crore of PAT for last consecutive 8 quarters, apart from the last 6 months. And nobody can certainly give the guarantee about the profit. It all depends on the margin. But in terms of the operation, company is consistently performing in terms of the capacity utilization and selling the product in the market. Having said that, the margin, if you ask me today, in the market was around $100 or $80 to $100, which was negative. That was the one of the key reasons that the profitability was impacted. The second reason is company is producing with Malic Anhydride, which is roughly 7,100 today. Post PFI, it is around 9,000. Realization from Malic is typically for last 10 years is 10 to 15% higher than the phthalic. But today the Malic price is around 10 to 15% lower than the phthalic anhydride. So that is one of the key reasons. So today when we are talking about, we need to have around 100 crore to 120 crore of revenue from Malic and post PFI 150 crore. But right now the annualized revenue is around 60 to 70 crore because the prices of the Malic has gone down drastically in last 6 to 9 months. So that was the key reason. The guarantee, I think we will not be able to give the guarantee for the profitability, but we can assure you about the operational excellence and overall cost optimization. Your second question is in terms of the expansion. I think PA5 is on track. We will start December and January the trial production. And probably before March, it will be a commercial production for PA5.
I was talking about this greenfield expansion, which you had announced in 2021.
2021, the expansion which we have announced is about PA5 and plasticizer. So PA5 is just completed in next couple of months. Say December to March, and the another expansion of the downstream derivatives where we are evaluating various plasticizers. I think we have applied to the Government of India for the environment clearance. Once we are able to get the clearance and subject to the board approval, we will be able to announce the same. It will take around 15 to 18 months for implementation.
Okay, so that is to the tune of 600 crore, right?
No, this project, which is the helix, is around 350 crore. That project will be between 150 to 200 crore.
There were two expansions, right? One was the brownfield expansion, that is the PFI, which is currently going on. And yes, the first one which you had announced was about the greenfield expansion, which was a totally new expansion to be set up in Gujarat.
Yeah, so that has splitted into two parts. One part is the PFI, which is completed. Second part is the downstream plasticizer. So 350 plus 200 is 550.
Oh, okay. Okay, understood. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, in your opening remarks, you had mentioned that the demand is muted.
Because I.
So, which are the next. Hello?
Yeah, please continue.
Yes, sir. So, you had mentioned that demand is remaining muted. So, which are the segments like the plasticizer, paints, pigments? Which segments hasn't shown that pickup?
Yeah. So, basically, the paint is doing well, especially UPR is doing well. But the biggest impact is coming on the CPC and pigment, where the guys are operating around 50%-60% of the capacity. That is because of the turmoil in Europe, demand sluggishness in Europe, and impact from China. So, that is the one segment. And second, the plasticizer demand, I think, more or less stable, not going very well. Right now, the plasticizer and pigment are the two segments which comprise around 20%-30% of the overall sales. They are not in a good position right now in terms of the overall demand and the growth. But we expect that after March, we will see the improvement in this. And that is not because of the domestic market. Domestic market demand remains same. Whoever is dependent on the exports, like if the downstream industry is selling the product to Europe or China or other places, that has been impacted heavily.
Okay. Okay. But sir, our exports, so that is very minimal. So we are not materially impacted on the export side because the domestic pigment players are impacted, so we are taking that.
Yeah. I'm not saying about our impact. We are selling 10%-15% to generally Middle East. I'm saying the downstream sector, if they are impacted, then of course, there will be a sluggishness in the demand from their side.
And sir, onto the spreads part, as you have mentioned, we are at $80-$100 per ton. So, sir, this spreads, I believe, sir, in 2020, just so before COVID only, I believe, so we were at the same level of spreads, like $80-$100 per ton.
I think in 2020, the difference in terms of the margin was at that time, the crude has touched to the zero. The margin has collapsed because of some geopolitical issues which has taken the crude to the negative. So this time, the overall geopolitical issues, supply chain issues in the various parts of Europe, as well as the issues, the GDP of China, which is around 37% of the chemical production, their GDP has gone down from 8%-8.5% to now 4.5%-5%. So overall, in the global market, apart from India, India is doing extremely well. But the sectors which are dependent on the export of their chemicals, that has got impacted.
Got it. So sir, now since you are also expecting a pickup probably by February or March, so we can expect margins also to remain at the same level for the next two quarters?
I think we need to disengage with two. First, the demand is the one part which will improve once there is an improvement in the downstream segment. When we are talking about the margin, margin is global phenomena. By increasing the demand in India, margin is not going to change. In global market, the overall sentiment of the entire chemical sector has to improve, to margin to improve. So once it starts, it will be reflected for all. If you look at all chemical players, the margin has collapsed in last two quarters. So if the global demand improves, then you'll see that improvement in the margin. Right now, we are at the bottom of our margin, where IG is making minimal profit. A lot of guys will be making cash losses.
Okay. So suppose, sir, for this quarter, suppose, sir, if we exclude the phthalic anhydride EBITDA, so how much EBITDA would be contributed by the maleic anhydride?
Maleic was around 14-15 crore. Sorry, 12-13 crore. DEP was 24 crore. Phthalic, I'm saying the revenue. I'm talking about the revenue. Another income was 8. So you can say that we have marginally or made nil to marginal EBITDA in phthalic. Balance is all other products and operating efficiency.
So sir, at least at the bottom line, phthalic anhydride is negative.
Yeah. Not negative, no profit, no loss. And we have spent around 7-8 crore for change in catalyst. The catalyst is being taken in 3 years, but the energy cost, if you see compared to the last quarter, we have spent 6-7 crore extra in the energy cost and around 1-2 crore on the repair and maintenance. So 8-9 crore has been put specifically as a one-time charge in the P&L.
That would reverse next quarter. Okay. Along with the ramp-up in volume.
I think let's understand it, because IG will have a five plants at the end of next 3 months or 4 months. So every 3 years, you need to take a shutdown. So every year, there will be a two shutdown. Probably in third year, it will be one shutdown. So every year, there has to be one or two shutdown for IGPL.
Got it. Got it. And sir, just a clarification onto your this 200 crore expansion of plasticizer. So sir, having some plan like current.
That is under evaluation. Request has been put for the environmental approval. Post that, it is approved by the board, and then it will be implemented. It's subject to the final approval from the board.
Also, having in place that 8,500 ton capacity, we can take that to around 14,000.
We can, but what that is what we have realized that while the margin of the phthalic keep on changing based on the demand supply, the DEP margin more or less is stable, because most of the DEP, we are selling it to the aromatics and the fragrance industry, which more or less remains stable.
So we would be first, sir, from 8,500 to 14,000, and then that 200.
That is the secondary phase. We are right now focusing on completion of PFI, and then along with the plasticizer, which is at a different site, we can plan for the same.
Okay. And sir, just a last update onto the maleic anhydride realization. So that continue to remain sluggish or like there is some improvement for the current month?
Compared to the last quarter, there is an improvement. It was around 70-72 rupees, right now between 80-85. But compared to the phthalic anhydride, which is around 98-102, it is still 15% down.
Okay. But why, sir, like since maleic anhydride is a chemistry which is not that fragmented, it is only consolidated by a few players globally. So how come this value-added product prices are down as compared to a base commodity?
So the maleic is a very typical case. Maleic is a starting point of a lot of new chemistry. So in India, there is a demand of 80,000 tons. We are producing 7,000 tons. So demand is not a challenge, but prices are determined by the global factor. If you look at the last 2 years, China has built up around 2 million tons of capacity, keeping in view the single-use plastics, which is made in 2022 earlier. They built 2 million tons capacity, and now they have postponed that date, keeping in view the maleic implementation to January 2025. All the excess maleic, which eventually they will be using it for their downstream of PBAT, PBT, they are flushing it with the market. So IG is a very marginal player. The bigger players who are producing in the U.S. and Europe, they are facing the challenges. Because right now, maleic, if you ask me, if you are using the N-butane route, you are not making any money.
Correct, correct. Sir, what was that capacity figure in China you said? How much capacity has been built up?
They added 2 million tons.
On the base capacity, sir, what would be the base?
I don't have any idea, but I think they already had 1.5. But they built 2 million tons brand new. You can go and Google and check. They will give you the list of plants which is built in the last 2 years.
So two times the new capacity has been built, sir, you mean to say?
Yeah. That capacity was supposed to cater to the BDO to PBAT and PBT for their dissolvable plastics, which was earlier dated January 2022, single-use plastic bin. Now they defer it to January 2025. So that has created a flush in the market of the excess maleic is coming, dumping into the global markets.
Okay. So sir, we can expect like the prices might not substantially go up till like their inventory or since they would not be using it downstream, they would be continuously.
So probably for next 1 or 2 years, you will not see the exceptionally high prices in the maleic. Maleic is typically when phthalic was 100, maleic was 120-130. When the demand was very high, it reached up to 300 at some point of time for 1 or 2 months, and again come back to 150. So typically, it remained 20% higher than phthalic historically. But right now, it is 15% lower than phthalic, indicating that there is an oversupply in the market.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So, sir, you mentioned about the demand part, but if you can walk us through in terms of the domestic capacity increases which we would witness over next 6 to 12 months. So, we are expanding, even our competitor is also expanding, and one of our customers has already put up a plant. So, in terms of capacity now from the industry point of view, where we stand, how much are the imports coming to India, and what I could understand from your remarks is that whenever we would put up our own plasticizer plant, most of our new PA would be consumed over there. So if you can just walk us through in terms of the capacity part and where each of the player would be placed over next 1 or 2 years, that would be very helpful.
So typically IG is 225, 222, which will ended by the end of sale March 24, 275. Thirumala is having 120, 130, and I think KLJ has started between 90 to 100. So all put together, if you say 220 to 220, the IGP, the India will have by the end of March a capacity equivalent to 450 to 500,000 tons, and that is what the demand is. Typically the import which is happening around 30 to 35,000 tons per quarter, or say 1 lakh, 1 lakh 20,000 tons per year, that has gone down. For the last quarter the import was 9,000 tons, but keeping in view the demand and supply, the still import is happening between 5 to 6,000 tons, because all the existing players which are producing in India, they are not only selling in India, they are selling in export market also. So whatever there is the equilibrium balance, that has to be imported. So that is one part. So demand or supply without import is more or less matching today. If somebody is adding the new capacity, if the growth remains 5 to 6%, it will take 1-1.5 years to absorb or clear equilibrium, to create equilibrium in the market. So till that, you can see slightly excess in Indian market, provided if there is no import, it will more or less match with the domestic demand. But that is not impacting the margin. Margin has to improve in the global market. Even if you have excess supply for say 6 months, 9 months or 1 year down the line, and if the global margin is good, most of the players are equipped to export their products outside India. So I think 1 or 2 years you will see equilibrium in the Indian market before the margin further improve because of the local factor. Otherwise, international market margin will be driven by the international demand and supply.
Got it, sir. So here, just one thing. One of our customer which has put up a plant last year of close to 1 lakh ton, has he ramped up fully in terms of his volumes, because probably he was earlier buying from us, importing also some of the volume. So
they have already ramped up to their, I think, optimal capacity, and they are right now consuming 80 to 90% of what they produce as their captive consumption, and 5 to 10% is available in the market.
Got it, sir. That's very helpful. And sir, this compression in the spreads which we have seen this quarter, and probably from last 2-3 quarters, we have seen some compression in the margins coming on. It's more because with the ortho-xylene prices not coming down, so it's more of the raw material trouble which is actually putting the pressure on the margins, or it's because the demand for phthalic globally would have some issues, that's why the margins have fallen. So
it's a two-way round. Phthalic, I think, move generally in directionally in line with the crude prices. So the demand of the phthalic as well as the end consumer who are able to sell into the European market, Chinese market and American market, their demand has been seriously impacted in last 6 months because of the geopolitical issues, the war between Russia, now the Israel and all that. The entire supply chain has also got distorted, and then the demand. Suppose there is an industry which is doing very well, growing very well, suddenly there is a fire, there is a geopolitical issues, the war between two countries, the overall demand got impacted. Similarly, China, which is growing at 8-8.5%, started growing at 4-4.5%. So overall global demand need to improve. There has to be peace in the global market to demand to improve. And then there is a growth. So both sides are got impacted. Because of that, the margins are sluggish.
Got it. So just a clarification on one on the capacity utilization side. So I think normally we used to sell close to or produce and sell close to 16,000-17,000 tons per month. So on a quarterly basis, it used to be around 45 to 48,000 tons. So because of the shutdowns which we have taken in this quarter for a catalyst change,
it's a 10% impact. Yeah.
Okay. So, Q on Q basis, there was a volume down by 10%, right?
Correct. 9 to 10%. Yeah.
Correct. And sir, one more thing which I would like to ask you is that in one of the calls you mentioned that some of the specialty chemical companies have also started purchasing phthalic for various chemistries and applications which would have developed over a period of time.
Yeah.
So there, have we seen any improvement in the volumes coming?
Yes. So basically because the downstream process has started, they're all plant. So the 10 to 12% capacity which we have at that time, we are selling it to EPR, specialty chemical, agrochemical. That has been taken over by them.
Correct, correct. So there, have you seen any green shoots coming on in terms of some of your pigment volumes are being replaced?
I think not pigment. UPR is one which is doing very well, and the overall demand in UPR is growing very well.
Okay.
So specialty chemical is doing very well. The agrochemical is doing very well. So I think specialty and UPR is one which we have seen the green shoot in terms of the overall demand growth.
Got it. And sir, you mentioned 9,000 tons of imports have come to India in Q2, if I have heard it correctly.
Yeah, right. Compared to 31-33 for Q1.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and festival wishes to the entire team of IG.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So you have guided that for the next 1 to 2 years with capacity coming up in India as well as so crude prices rising, do we see our margin pressure to sustain or do we see some kind of improvement there as malic acid prices have increased a bit?
And sorry, I'm not getting your question. Can you be clear? Because I think I'm finding some echo voice.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted to understand regarding the margin pressures that we have right now and with capacities coming in India, we've guided that there could be some kind of pressure for next 1 to 1.5 years. So, how do we look from that perspective? So what will be the growth driver to that?
Capacity is coming up in India is fine. Because that Indian demand is also going between 5 to 6%. Apart from that, India typically used to import around 1 lakh to 1 lakh 20,000 tons. That has moderated to around 50 because that's the existing player who was doing the maximum import. They have started their own phthalic plant. So to that extent, you will see the decline, or drastic decline in the overall import. While India is continuing to grow at 5 to 6% in terms of phthalic, you see the equilibrium because new capacities are added. You will see the equilibrium. Plus, there is always an opportunity for the existing player to sell into the export market. There is a good market available in the Middle East and other places like Egypt, South Africa. But the question is, and we are also planning to get into the downstream derivatives. So once the plant will start, the most of the production which we are doing in PFI will be utilized for the purpose of the downstream derivative products.
Okay. And sir, the government had given a quality control order on these products. So have we seen any impact of that on our revenues and all?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Madhurati. Your voice is not audible, sir. Are you speaking from a speaker? I would request you to speak on the headset.
Yeah, is it better now?
Not really. If you could just speak.
Hello.
Yeah, now it's audible.
Yeah. So I wanted to understand regarding the quality control order that government of India has moved few quarters back. So how has that impact been on the industry?
As such, there was no direct impact because the government wanted all the guys who are importing or who are selling to the India need to have that certain parameters. So all the companies need to register. We have seen that slowly, steadily, most of the companies get registered and they are complying with the government notification.
Okay, so we are not seeing a significant decline in imports due to that.
Import is declined because the players who were importing, now they set up their own plant.
Okay.
So definitely import has gone down, but you can't say that it's because of that order. The order required a lot of companies who are selling it to Indian market to register with the government and comply with the quality standard. So most of the companies are already in a process of doing that and most have already done that.
So that was the compliance in terms of maintaining the quality of phthalic coming into India.
Okay. And then what is your steady state margin for malic acid as well as DEE going forward when in a steady state environment?
So I will not be able to comment about malic acid because we don't produce malic. We produce malic anhydride. The malic anhydride right now moving between 80 to 85. Steady state margin for malic has to be the price 15%-20% higher than phthalic. Phthalic is hovering around 98-100. So malic has to be 120. So today, if you ask me, it is 30%-40% lower than the original price.
Okay. So we guided at $150-$200 per ton would be a steady state margin for phthalic. So for malic, it would be around 20% higher on a steady state basis.
Correct. 20% higher than phthalic.
Okay. And then, so are you seeing some kind of, so we have seen an improvement in malic prices right now. So in quarter three, are you seeing further improvement in phthalic malic prices?
Malic prices compared to the Q1 has improved 15%-20%. It was around 70-75. Right now, between 80-85. We have seen the improvement, but the visible improvement will be there once it crosses the phthalic prices. Right now, for last 6 to 9 months, it is below the phthalic prices. While the phthalic has moved from 85 to 105 in between and again come back to 95 to 100. But still, so long as the malic prices remain below 10%-15% of phthalic prices, improvement is gradual. But ultimately, it needs to go past the phthalic prices to see a real impact on the overall market.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Vikaria from Budhrani Group. Please go ahead.
So just wanted to know, sir, what are the spreads in phthalic currently doing, sir?
It's around 100-120.
100-120.
Yeah, around 100, moving around plus minus 20, $10-$15.
Is this PFI, will it start contributing from Q4 of 2024 or Q1 of 2025?
It will be Q4, but it will be very marginal because suppose you are starting the trial production and all the trial production profit and loss is generally capitalized along with the effect. So in terms of the profitability impact, it is expected in Q1 FY25.
Okay. Okay. So in your outlook, sir, how do you see this thing panning out, sir, as far as the phthalic anhydride goes on? Globally, the situation.
I think first we need to wait for the geopolitical issues to settle, and then there is an expectation of revival in Chinese demand. These two factors corrected, we can see the good amount of recovery in the overall market.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Munjal Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a couple of questions. So one is, suppose Grasim has announced a decent expansion for their paint venture.
Yes.
And they are very close to maybe in a few quarters, they will be commissioning.
Yeah.
So have they started seeking for their procurement? And how does it work actually? They will procure from a couple of guys or they will procure from one guy? How does it work actually from a new player perspective?
I think they are looking at the market. They started discussion with all the players, and they will have a fairly big requirement, and they are gradually increasing their production over the period of next 1.5 to 2 years. Right now, they maybe started 15%-20%, and then gradually they are going up. So they have already started the discussion with the marketing team. I think we need to wait till their plants are operational, but the discussion they have already started, and I think they are doing the phthalic-based as well as water-based. So we need to see how much is their total requirement once they start their commissioning plant.
But at full capacity, how much will they require approximately? Any idea?
Full capacity, capacity is they are trying to take their capacity equivalent to Asian Paints, which will take time.
Okay.
So right now, whatever they are producing, I believe this will be a requirement of around 2,000 to 2,500 tons.
2,000 to 2,500 tons per month?
Per month, per month. Requirement.
Yeah. And sir, secondly, any update on this import from China, this naphthalene-based phthalic?
So overall, there is a decline in the import from 32 to 35,000 ton to 9,000 ton. But as such, we have not found anything stopping for the naphthalene base, because the BIS still strictly don't provide the naphthalene base or the orthoxylene base. They provide certain parameters. If you fulfill that parameter, irrespective of the source of raw material, you can import this.
And sir, just last update, beyond China, what is the capacity addition in phthalic and...
I think mostly all capacities are coming up in India only. Otherwise, one or two, probably one plant in China. Otherwise, we have not seen any new capacity coming up.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Marcel, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you please advise that during the Q1 and Q2, how much of phthalic in terms of quantity we sold, what was the price, average price? And currently, how is the prevailing price, for example, what was the average price in the month of October, and how is the offtake now?
So, generally, we don't provide the quantity because every company have a different yield proposition. So, typically, in Q1 and Q2, we sell between 45 to 46,000. Same, because Q1 was also shut down of one plant and Q2 was also shut down of one plant. And the pricing remained in the range of for both the quarter, because at that time crude price was high, so it was between 100 to 110. And this time when we are talking about it is between 90 to 100 rupees per kg.
So you are saying this in now the price is reduced by about $10 something?
Yeah, because the OX has also gone down.
Sorry?
Because orthoxylene has also gone down up to certain extent.
Yeah, okay.
If you look at the price is the moment of crude orthoxylene. If orthoxylene goes up by $50, then phthalic will also go down. If the OX is going down, then phthalic will also go down.
Agree.
There is no meaning to look at the specific only final product price. The raw material prices are also equally important.
Yes, we need to see raw material also. So if you talk about EBITDA margin, for example, so how is the margin in the October month and how are the margin in the previous quarter, like September quarter, for example?
I think it is not right for me to comment about the October margin. But September margin, I think it's already visible that EBITDA margin is around 6% and the gross margin was 17%.
Okay. Actually,
decline compared to the Q1. Q1 was 22% gross margin, which has last quarter was 18%, and the EBITDA margin was 12% in Q1, which is now 6.6%. The reason for the decline in the margin for the Q2, there are three reasons. First, the overall quantity was less. The second reason was the malic anhydride, which you are producing almost similar to what you have been producing. The realization on malic continuously down by 15% or 20% of phthalic prices for last three quarters. And third reason is we have provided 78 crore extra on account of change in catalyst in Q2.
Yeah, okay. So like as we have discussed during this
call,
Mr.
Marcel, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions?
I didn't ask for two questions even, my dear. Two questions you to allow?
Yeah, please. Good.
So, Mr. What I was saying that is, that like as we discussed during this call that like that means already our competitor, already our customer has set up the plant, new plants are coming up. So how do you see the prospect of this industry, phthalic, in the next 1 year, 2 year, for example?
So phthalic prospects in Indian context has been very good, because phthalic typically around 5 years ago used to be used in the 4 to 5 industry. Now it is more than 20 to 25 industries are using. Not only the plain plasticizer, PVC, pigment are the key users earlier, now you see the UPR, specialty chemical, agrochemical, photofilm, all type of new specialty chemicals which are coming up in India are expanding. They somewhere need phthalic for all their chemistries. So Indian demand continue to grow. Of course, you will see a slightly for 6 to 9 months there is excess supply in terms of the new production coming up at the same time. But if the, if you take the Indian growth momentum in next 1.5 years, the it will be slow to go. And there is an opportunity to go into the downstream because that is also growing very well. And then there is an opportunity to do the export in the Middle East. We are at a right.
Yeah.
We are at the right location. We can do the domestic as well as export. We continue to maintain 15 to 20% export.
So, sir, like, have we taken a target to make certain like percentage in export, or is it normal way, or are we going some aggressive?
No. There is no force measure. Please understand that the force measure is not. Force measure is when you need to shut down the plant. When you are selling in domestic market, export market, everybody is getting a different margin and different segment. So there is no force measure. There is an opportunity in domestic market as well as export. If you see the middle, so there is a demand. Middle East market, the demand is 50 to 60,000 ton. And there is no player who is producing in Middle East.
Very good. So we need to explore it, man. We need to just like...
We are doing it 15 to 20% for last 10 years.
Ah, okay. So like,
production.
Now we are going to increase it, right?
It may be increased for some period because then we have our downstream derivative processes is coming up. Then we will not have that much product available.
And Mr.
Marcel, I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you.
We request you to return to the queue because we have other participants.
Okay. No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So you mentioned that currently you are making a spread of around $100 in Thalic anhydride, and we are at break-even level. So the other players would be making losses at current levels. Should that be a correct understanding?
Not exactly losses. There will be hardly anything in terms of the EBITDA. You are making slight addition to the EBITDA on account of Thalic.
Got it. And sir, do you
foresee a situation? Sorry, I am not clear about your voice.
Hello. Yes, sir. Sir, do you foresee a situation where the prices can, the spreads can fall down further?
I don't think so, because right now if you are talking about $100, it is, I think 80% of producers have a conversion cost of around 150 to 160. So most of the guys are making cash losses.
Got it.
So it is not possible. If it goes down, you will see a lot of plants getting sent out in the Chinese, Taiwan, Korea. You will see a lot of sundown if it goes below that.
Yeah, that was my next question. So are we seeing any shutdown of capacity?
There are 6 to 7 plants which were temporarily shut, and they extend the shutdown by 1 or 2 months in Korea, Japan and Taiwan.
Got it. And sir, what is currently the import duty or the anti-dumping duty for Thalic
anhydride? It remains between 3.5% to 4.5%. It depends on different countries and the players who are exporting to India.
And when is it getting over, this import duty?
So import duty for some of the countries are forever, because import duty is anti-dumping. I think the 4 countries which they have applied is will be expired on 2026.
Okay. And sir, since India is the only, you know, growing market in globally,
yeah,
situation where these other players will start dumping more and more into India because the overall global demand is pretty weak. So do you think that these companies can increase the imports, which would lead to pressure in the end prices for us?
So I don't think so, because at couple of times and places, our sale price is below the import parity. So it is not possible to compete, because the cost of production of Indian players and the ability for them to supply at the right time is much, much higher. So at times, if you need to compete with the import, I think the domestic player will be more beneficial.
Got it. And sir, now we are getting into plasticizer segment. So would this product be competing with our customers? And is there any pushback from a customer?
I think we are evaluating that. It is subject to the environment clearance and board approval. I think let's wait for that. And the product is something which is growing at 10 to 15%. And more or less the customers are similar.
Right. I get, once you get the environmental clearance, but would there be any pushback from a customer because we would be competing with them? So
Not exactly. Because there are only 2 players of plasticizer in India. One has already set up on the plant.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up. Sir, in first half, sir, we have made from the non-phthalic business, the top-line contribution is around 83 crores. So, sir, if you can quantify, like, how much was from malic anhydride and from plasticizer?
So, you're talking about Q2 or H1?
H1.
So, malic anhydride was, just give me a sec, malic anhydride was around 32-33 crores.
Okay.
And the plasticizer was around 37 crore.
And sir, in terms of the non-phthalic business, so suppose if we annualize this number, 83 crore, somewhere around like 165 crore we can make for the full system. So this is similar to like FY23
level. Let me explain it. If you are producing the 6,000 to 500 to 7,000 ton of the malic, post PFI, say 9,000 ton, you will be ended up, provided the price of malic is coming too near to the phthalic or higher than phthalic, you will be, on malic, you will be generating revenue between 120 to 150 crore. For plasticizer, we are running a run rate of around 20 crore to 25 crore per quarter. So it will be 80 to 100 crore. So if you take the full potential of malic, it is 150 crore, full potential of plasticizer is 100 crore, so it will be 250 crore, and the other income which is around 25 to 30 crore. So you will have around 250 to 300 crore of other revenue post PFI.
So that you are talking when the malic anhydride realizations were at the normalized level. Now, sir, for the next 1 to 2 years, we would not witness that scenario.
I think that is an assumption. When I'm saying is equivalent to phthalic. I'm not saying higher than phthalic. Malic has gone to 350 rupees. I'm not talking about it. I'm saying when it is between 100 to 110, which is 10% higher than phthalic.
Okay. And so this non-phthalic business, like currently it is contributing only 7-8%. So like even if we annualize, the figure would remain the same. But so like we were earlier guiding by at least 25% of our total top line would be from the non-phthalic business. So this is like constituting the new plasticizer expansion, 200 crore that comes in, so that can like materially shift to the non-phthalic portion.
If it added, it will add 800 crore to 900 crore of revenue.
The 200 crore can add 800 to 900 crore, 4 times asset turnover.
Correct, 4 to 4.5.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. The last question is from Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, we have guided last quarter that from the new...
Mr. Madhurati, sorry to interrupt you, sir. Your voice is not audible. Could you speak a little louder?
Is it better right now?
Management, can you hear him clearly?
Not exactly.
Mr. Madhurati, if I would request if you're speaking from a speakerphone, just kindly use a headset.
Sure, sir. Sir, I just wanted to understand that your guided last quarter that from the new Thales plant, our pitch conversion cost will go down. So, we see these kind of improvement to help our margin in the FY25?
Yeah. It's surely the conversion cost will go down because it is being set up at same location and the land, infrastructure, the power, water, everything will be used by same. And the fixed cost which is right now incurred by the company will be allocated to the fifth plant also. The overall cost of conversion will go down.
So basically, if I'm trying to understand, we are selling thalas at 100 and our conversion cost is 150. So
no, conversion cost is between $80 to $85.
Okay.
When you are talking about the depreciation interest cost, then it will come to around 130, 140. Conversion cost is $80 to $85. Depreciation and all are not part of conversion cost. Correct?
Okay. And sir, the conversion cost will come down to 73 to 75.
It is right now 80 to 85. It will reduce overall by 10 to 15 rupees.
From when the new plants commercialize.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir, that was very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand over the conference over to Mr. Pramod Bhandari for the closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Albert. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us on the earnings call. We appreciate your time and showing your deep interest in our company. On the behalf of IGPL team, we wish you very happy Diwali in advance. In case you have further query, please get in touch with SGA, our investor relation advisor, or you can send the mail to us. Thank you very much and happy Diwali again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IG Petrochemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.